a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server doesn't come!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my
This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the Sean P. Listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. No Fouts on the other side of the glass. The mask controls at Fouts underscore Noah on the tweet top. On the Twitch feed, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on the ESPN 975 app, ESPN975.com. Hey Google, Alexa, play ESPN 975. They do. Take us with you everywhere you go. You know what else you can take with you everywhere you go? Comebacks! Those of the ninth inning variety. Where else can you take things everywhere you go? How about broomsticks? As the Astros sweep the Oakland Dash right out of the Coliseum with a 5-4 victory, courtesy of a four-run ninth on a day where many, many people thought Justin Verlander was going to have a shot at a no-hitter and the Astros were going to score one freaking run. And I know there was a lot of panic when Verlander gave up three runs in the seventh inning, all with two out, that how did they only score one run to this point? Should have had plenty of runs by now. Why do they only give him one run of support, meanwhile he's no-hitting through six and two-thirds, seven and two-thirds? Why is he so into the seventh? So he went six and two-thirds innings of no-hit ball, and then the run scored, including a home run to set in center field by Bethancourt. And it was a lot of people, panic time. They can't score today. Doesn't matter how many hits they get. They can't score today. Well, ninth inning wound up being exactly the opposite. As once again, they get to Danny Jimenez. Danny Jimenez, they're in a little bit of a slump right now. The A's closer having a little bit of a rough patch right now, and that he's, I think he's given up runs in each of his last three appearances. Blew his first save of the season over the weekend. He's having a little bit of a rough go. And part of that is
you have to throw strikes.
Watching him come back out for the ninth inning and just wild thing it. As soon as you saw that as an Astros fan, like, okay, we're cooking. They're going to put a bunch of guys on. We're going to get some hits. You can only put so many guys on before eventually they score. And, you know, where the A's, let's say to start the ninth inning, had a win probability of 94.3%. Didn't quite work out that way, did it? Let me tell you how much my heart just goes out to the 3,000 Oakland A's fans that were in attendance. Just breaks my heart. official attendance at the Coliseum dump, 5,189. Apparently, when you tear your roster apart, raise ticket prices, and threaten to move the team out of town,
the fans stop showing up. Who knew?
Now, Oakland kind of did this to itself. Their owner is worth $5 billion. I don't cry for him. But Oakland now 20-33 after being swept by the
reigning, defending, undisputed
American League champion Houston Astros. 20-33, 14 games back of the Astros, who lead the Halos by 5.5 and the Junk Grabbers by 7.5. By the way, Junk Grabbers fans are ecstatic. They're 24-24, and they think they're in the mix. That's what a beatdown franchise fan base thinks. Hey, we're 500. We're going to make a run. You're going to make a run to the toilet. That's where you're going to make a run to. Let's not think that the Junk Grabbers are going to be worth a damn. Hold on. I just noticed something. Where the hell is the clock? I'm gone for a week and you'll break everything around here. Now, this is a radio station. How am I in a radio studio when there's no freaking clock? So now you basically have to tell me the time for every segment.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
That's not your job. That's why we have these things called clocks. At least some of the microphone stands are broken. That's another thing that usually happens every time I'm gone. Somebody breaks something. So what? How did it break? You've been here, I'm assuming?
No, I haven't been here.
Where have you been?
PC, when you're gone, I'm gone, man.
Yeah? I hope your gone was better than my gone. I had the parents, the nieces, the brother, the in-laws. Everybody was in town. Miraculously, I didn't kill anyone or myself.
Yeah, you made it back, so I was going to say that last statement was true for sure.
It's like, I didn't kill anyone or myself. My son graduated high school this week. He is officially a graduate. He was taking some of his entrance exams for UT, because they got like the placement exams, like where they're going to place you per se. So he was taking those today and griping about it. It's like, I just finished school. I don't want to do schoolwork. And I was trying to explain to him. I said, son, you need a summer job. That means you actually have to go apply for a job. He had a tutoring job where he worked 2 hours a week once a week. And I tried to explain to him, I'm like, that's not a job. And now that school is over, there's no more tutoring. I'm like, you need a job. You're not going to sleep till 2 in the afternoon every day. You need a job. Now, there is a town pool around the corner from my house that is desperate for lifeguards. And I told him, go apply to be a lifeguard. He says, well, I don't know that I can be a lifeguard. What if I don't pass the swim test? I said, you just got scuba certified. If you could be scuba certified, I think you know how to swim. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right, Dad. I said, well, all your friends are at Kroger making $7.25 an hour. You can be at the pool, rocking a tan, talking to girls, getting $20 an hour. Oh, wait, I could get that much? Now, Noah, you've been out of school, high school, what, 8 years, 9 years?
I graduated in 16, so.
All right, so 6 years. When you came out of high school, were you, all right, I'm going to get a job, or were you, I'm just going to kind of play video games?
I was still playing baseball at the time, so that's what I was doing. But, yeah, I didn't get a job until I got to college.
Okay, but that's because you were playing ball of the offseason.
Right.
My son's like, yeah, I need a job. But he's got no impetus to go get a job. I looked at him and I said, you see the car that's outside that I bought you that you love? If you want to keep it, you're going to get a dang job. And then my daughter, who's just turned 15 last week, is like, I'm going to have a job before you because I'm responsible and you're lazy. And then the smack talk is on. That is one, like, I know you're probably surprised to hear that in my family we smack talk each other. But particularly my son and my daughter, they talk trash on each other like crazy. And my daughter usually wins. My daughter's got my smart mouth. So she's just throwing haymakers verbally all day long. She's relentless. So yes, I'm trying to teach my son, it's not just getting a job. It's getting the job that's going to pay you the most. Working for $20 an hour, sitting outside, getting a tan, talking to girls, is way better than working for $7.25 an hour, pushing shopping carts, wearing an apron, and cleaning bathrooms. It's way better. We're working. I'm trying to teach him. He's a book genius, but when it comes to common sense, the genius is not so much. I don't know why. Other things that I could say, I don't know why. I hear a lot of people that have been griping about this about the Astros or that about the Astros, for example. After three starts, it was, oh my gosh, Jake Odorizzi, he's so terrible, we got to kick him off the team. Boy, didn't they look stupid. Then it's, oh my gosh, the bullpen. I don't trust the bullpen. Now the bullpen's going to kill him.
Best bullpen in the league.
Oh, man, I don't know about Jeremy Pena. Is he really going to hit?
Front runner for rookie of the year.
Oh, well, Altuve's past his prime. I don't know. Altuve's moving.
Altuve's rocking homers.
No, the actual biggest issue facing the Astros is one that nobody seems to want to talk about, even though it's right there, plain as day, in front of everybody's face. We'll educate everybody else next.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, while we were out at our last event, people kept asking me, you know what you guys should do? You should have a golf tournament. And I laughed, said, we do have a golf tournament, and you're probably going to hear about it really soon. Well, soon as now, you get to take the day off of work. You get to play a round of golf with all your favorite people here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, because it's the Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids meals. This year's tourney. Tuesday, June 14th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer gets
free beverages from Carbach Brewing,
free lunch from Mendocino Farms, free dinner from iFratelli, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony following the tournament. So don't wait. Register now, ESPN97.5.com. Why are we calling it the Occasional Invitational? Why are we not calling this the John Granato Classic? I mean, doesn't John basically have an ownership stake in Wildcat at this point? He plays there so much. We need to rename the Occasional Invitational the John Granato Classic. And you should cut this and play it for him because I know he'll go with it. John Granato Classic. Everybody's going to love this except Lance. ESPN975.com. Go register now. So, before the season started, it's a weird year where, you know, you didn't have any kind of off-season program for any players. Spring training started late. It was a short spring training. And sometimes that throws people off. Some guys got off to good starts and some guys didn't. But before the season, I said, look, the Astros offense, even with Jeremy Pena replacing Carlos Correa, the Astros offense is going to be just fine. They're not hitting on all cylinders just quite yet, but they're just fine. In fact, if you take a peek at the old standings page, you will notice that the team with the second best run differential in the American League is your Houston Astros. So while they're not scoring the ton of runs that they did before, they're on the higher end of middle of the pack. There's not a lot of teams that have outscored them. I think five teams have outscored the American League. But they don't give up any runs. They've given up the second fewest runs in the American League. So, the offense has been okay, and we know it'll get better. The defense has been tremendous. Told you that the bullpen was going to be fine. A lot of people did not know who Hector Neris was. And I said, you know, Hector Neris is going to be the eighth inning guy. He's going to be the backup closer. He misses bats. You know what he's doing right now? He's missing a ton of bats. Montero has really stepped up his game. Presley's working through it. But you'll notice, you know, from early in the season when he was throwing 91, well, he's throwing it 95 again. So getting the feel for his command, that'll come. Not worried about Ryan Presley. Their bullpen has the best ERA in all of baseball and right now has granted the season's only, you know, a third of the way through. Their bullpen ERA is like 2.53. The run Presley gave up today is the first run they've given up in like 10 days. The Astros bullpen is not a problem, although at the deadline, I would expect if you can go get another piece to fortify it, they will. The one Achilles heel that was the Astros bugaboo from long before the season started was the starting pitching. Not the quality of the starting pitching, but could they keep enough guys healthy? Injuries have been an issue for the Astros at the starting pitching position now for several years. The 2020 season, at one point, they had four starters on the IL at the same time. Last year, guys were in and out of the lineup on the IL. And you knew coming into the season, Lance McCullers Jr. was going to miss somewhere between 2 and 4 months after having a setback in January because can't access team doctors during a lockout, can't access team facilities during a lockout, can't access team programs during a lockout. If they had multiple long-term injuries to the rotation, that was the ultimate Achilles heel because they had basically every pitcher except Odorizzi was going to have some kind of innings management. Verlander was coming off Tommy John surgery. Frober never thrown more than 135 innings in his career. Louis Garcia threw 61 innings more last year than he'd ever thrown in his life. Urquidy had spent two trips on the IL last year for his throwing shoulder that nothing was ever done about in the offseason. And Christian Javier had never thrown more than 108 innings in a year. Everybody but Odorizzi was essentially on some kind of innings watch. And then Odorizzi had the freak injury where, look, he was lucky he didn't fully blow his Achilles. And I'll tell you what, it is a minor miracle that Odorizzi is already running. And that is a minor miracle in and of itself that just a couple of weeks after being carted off the field, he's already running. But the biggest injury risk has always been Jose Urquidy. When you spend two trips on the IL in the same season for the same shoulder issue, and it's your throwing shoulder, and it's not addressed in the offseason, it's a ticking time bomb. If you follow the rest of baseball, this has been Jacob DeGrom for 2.5 years. Coming out of games because his elbow hurts and he misses two starts and then he's pitching again. And then a month later his elbow hurts and he's back down. Urquidy being on the IL with two shoulder injuries, that was always a major risk. And again, because of the lockout, he didn't access team doctors, facilities, programs, and nothing was done to address whatever the shoulder issue was that put him on the IL twice last season. Now, here is one of the surface level, here's what's wrong. His ERA is through the roof. For Urquidy to have a 480 ERA when it's a full run higher than his career ERA, and that includes this year. He's given up 64 hits in 45 innings. He gave up 87 hits in 107 innings last year. He's given up a lot of hits. He still doesn't walk anybody. Last season, his whip was 0.991. That's walks and hits per nine innings. Well, per inning pitched. Walks and hits per innings pitched. He was 0.99. That is elite for a starting pitcher. The year before, he was 1.01. That is elite for a starting pitcher. This year, it's 1.578. That is horrendous. Because he's getting banged around the park. What's going on? Why is Urquidy getting banged around the park? If you've watched his last three starts, in two of them, his velocity is dropping like a stone. He's opening the game at 95. And by the fourth inning, he's to 91. Guys don't lose 4 miles per hour on their fastball in four innings unless they're hurting. The Astros need a healthy Jose Urquidy. When he's healthy, he's a really good pitcher. He's very underrated. I would shut him down now, get him right, so that I have him in August, September, and October. Because I don't want, every time you throw him out there, you're just running the risk of major injury. Clearly something's wrong with him that he's losing 4 miles per hour on his fastball by the fourth inning. It happened in his last start. It happened in his start at Fenway. Two of the last three starts. Neither one of those starts were good. this should be sending up red flags all over the Astros organization. The problem is it's going to make them do something they don't want to do, at least not yet. We'll get to that a little later on in the programs. Coming up next, it's time for Money Plays. Our buddy Joe Spano from Sports Map Elite has your NBA Finals Money Plays next.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
It's time for Money Plays, brought to you in partnership with Sports Map Elite. Now get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
Time for Money Plays from Sports Map Elite. Longtime national radio host, now pro handicapper. Our buddy Joe Spano. What's up, Joe?
Not too much, Patrick. Long time no speak. You've been playing hooky.
Yeah, you know, my son graduated high school. I decided to, you know, be a parent and actually be around for it.
I was going to say, he graduated high school. You took a week off.
Pretty much.
I don't know how you pull that one.
Well, the whole family was down here.
My
folks were here. My brother was here. My niece were here. The in-laws were here. Everybody was here.
You got to be off because all this stuff needs to be handled and taken care of.
Well, you know what? The last time my folks were in town and I didn't take off, all right, my mom gave me a daily guilt trip about, you knew I was coming to town. You didn't even take off. I mean, how am I supposed to see you? You're always working. I never see anyone. Well, why do I even bother coming down here for? So in
just
order
tell them to send you your inheritance early. You'll take all the time off you need.
In order to not get the daily guilt trip, I decided, oh, I'll actually spend time with my family. So I was a good parent, and I spent time with the family, and I was there for all my son's events, and my daughter's birthday was last week also. So it was a busy week. It was a busy week, but glad to be back, especially since turns out I won't have a show next week. Because
yeah, you ain't staying for long. You came back for a week, and you're leaving for a week and a half.
Well, not by choice. We're carrying the NBA Finals, so I'm, you know, getting preempted. So next week I'm going to go up to the school, going up to UT with my son for orientation. His Eagle Board of Review is next week. So I'm actually, again, I'm going to get to be a father and
right,
do things.
There you go. 2 weeks in a row. Being a father in a radio business is tough.
Yeah, it's the only 2 weeks I'm going to get.
The nice thing about being the evening host on a national affiliate, on the affiliate of a national network, is when you're preempted like this, you could take the night off. I've been the national host on a local station that wasn't a affiliate of a big national network. And if you were the evening host and a baseball game, you were on like after the game, you had to show up anyway and just wait and go on after the game in case the game was rained out or had a rain delay. So if your shift started, say, an hour after the game and you're going to be on from 11 to 1, you had to be there at like 7 o'clock and just sit there and watch the game.
Yep, just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
They would throw to you even though you had no show prepared because it's a rain delay, but you had to be there. So this isn't so bad.
No, they'll get quality programming from our friends at the mothership. Now, Joe, it's this is the money play segment. This is where we show the people how to make money, and you've been hot every time you're on. Your picks while you're on air on this show have been very hot. Now we're getting to the NBA Finals, and it's time for you to show us all how we're going to make money one more time. The finals starting tomorrow night. Boston going to San Francisco to take on the Warriors. And look, this is probably the best matchup we could have asked for.
Yeah, this is the one everybody wanted.
Quick question for you before we get into actual lines and stuff. So, Golden State won a title before Kevin Durant. They set the NBA record for most regular season wins before Kevin Durant. They overcame a 3-1 series deficit against Kevin Durant. Then because of, you know, a fluky hiccup with revenues and the salary cap, Kevin Durant joins Golden State.
Yeah.
They win two more titles. lose a third one when, you know, they're riddled with injuries, including to Durant and Klay Thompson. Since then, Durant hasn't been to a finals. The Dubs are in the finals right now. If Golden State wins another title without KD, does KD need his own ring for his legacy to not be bus rider who rode coattails of Splash Bros?
Yeah. I mean, as far as being an all-time great winner or being a big-time winner and a guy that could that is the guy that drives a team to a championship, yes. You know, he's an all-time great player, and he's one of the two or three best players in the NBA today without question, and he's one of those small handful of guys that can put you on his shoulders or on his back and will you to an NBA championship. But until he actually does it with a team that isn't surrounded by all that talent and has done it before him and arguably does it again after him, yeah, he would have to do one on his own to be considered that guy, a guy who actually can carry a team to a championship, because the Warriors did it several times before him. They're back to the finals now after him. If they win here, well, you connect the dots. We won before you were there. We won after you got back. We won while you were here too, but, well, you know, now, nothing changed. Not much changes whether you're here or not.
Now, that being said, who do you have winning the series?
Celtics. It ain't going to be easy, though, bro. This is the series, as everything was starting to unfold and potential great matchups were getting knocked off. Once we got to the conference finals, I think this is what everybody wanted, because I think these are, you know, these were the two best remaining teams once we got to a Final Four in the NBA. The Celtics are, they're the best defensive team in the NBA when Robert Williams is playing. They have two of the top five defensive players in the game when they have him and Smart together. It's just they're far and away the best defensive team in the NBA. All apologies to other elite defensive teams, of which one of them is the Warriors. The Celtics are just that much better on defense. And offensively, the Celtics have a lot of ways to beat you. Jason Tatum is starting to prove to be one of those guys. Put it on me. I'll play hero ball, and I'll will us to victory. And then you got a supporting cast with a second banana in Jaylen Brown. That's one of the better second bananas in the league. And then guys like Marcus Smart and Al Horford and Grant Williams and Robert Williams and Peyton Pritchard and Derek White. They've got a lot of ways to beat you offensively. They're the best defensive team in the league. And they're better at winning on the road than any other team in the league, really. So they're a hard out. The Warriors ain't going to go away easy. But I just think the Celtics have couple too many ways to beat you. And in the case of a matchup with Golden State, the fact that they can either play as small as the Warriors and keep up in a potential track meet or beat them up going big, I think that could be a decisive edge as this series unfolds.
Do the Warriors need MVP level Steph Curry to win?
You know, I do think so. I think they need MVP. I think they need a lot of MVP level perimeter play. I think they need Steph Curry. I think they need Klay Thompson to be pre-injury Klay Thompson more often than he has been, and have a lot less of those this doesn't look like Klay Thompson anymore nights. And Jordan Poole needs to be big. I think they need a lot from their perimeter guys. And I think it starts with Steph, and those other key perimeter players are going to have to play well, and Draymond Green is going to have to play well as well.
Because Steph is that one guy. You can have a hand in his mug, and he'll still drain it. You can have two hands in his mug, and he'll still drain it. When he gets hot, he can put 15 points on the board in 2 minutes, and sure, it doesn't matter how many people are guarding him. He gets into one of those rhythms, and everything goes in. And
but you know who's guarding him better than just about anybody in the NBA, not to cut you off? Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but
that's who's going to be guarding him.
It is the most demoralizing thing to a team to see a guy, especially a guy as small as Steph Curry, who no matter how hard you bang him, no matter how much you push him around, how tight you are in his face, when he gets hot and he just starts throwing him in from everywhere and there's just nothing you can do about it. I've just seen it so many times, the demoralizing effect it has on the other team of, we doubled him, we pushed him, we punched him, and he threw it in from 38 feet.
Yeah, absolutely. And he can do that to you, and I think they're going to need some of that to win. Again, as I said, I think they need pre-injury Clay. The Clay that we've seen since the injury has had the Clay-like moments pretty often, but he's also had these moments of complete disappearance that pre-injury Clay Thompson didn't have. So in essence, what you need is a more consistent every night Clay Thompson. I think Jordan Poole has to step up big, as we've seen him do at the back end of the regular season and the early portion of the playoffs before Steph Curry rounded into form and returned to the starting lineup. And I think they need good Draymond Green, not the one that gets in foul trouble, chirps at officials, and lets his head take him out of the game. I think they need the driven, determined Draymond Green that at 6'7", can still manage to disrupt bigger, taller players and somehow mitigate the size edge that the Boston Celtics have.
He's Joe Spano, Sports Map Elite, longtime national radio host with us on the HRMP guest line. When we come back, I'm going to make Joe stay for a second segment because we're sitting here yapping. When we come back, Joe's going to get you the money plays. Where is the value in this series, in game one? Where is it? Joe breaks down for us next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays, brought to you in partnership with Sports Map Elite. Now get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
Joe Spano, Sports Map Elite, with us on the HRNP guest line. Longtime national host. And now it's time for the Money Plays. Where is the value on this series? And for game one, Warriors 3.5-point favorites. The over-under on this is 212.5. The ESPN matchup predictor, which is based on their ESPN BPI, actually has the Celtics with a 58.1% chance of winning this game, even though Vegas has it the other way. Joe, where are you finding the value in this series and maybe in this game one?
Well, I'm treading, unlike past series this postseason, I'm actually treading lightly in game one. There's some things that I'm trying to figure out here, and I know that surprises you because in our previous conversations, I talked about how a lot of the value is in the early portions of these series. The books are slow to adjust. They adjust gradually. By the time we get to game four or five, I don't have a lot of value. Here, these are two very evenly matched teams. They each have advantages, and it's not easy to find some value. And it's a tricky spot here, at least to me in this game one, and for a couple of reasons. Obviously, the Warriors are better rested. The Celtics, both teams are banged up. It looks like the Celtics' entire rotation is going to play, even if some guys are less than 100%. They're playing, they're gutting it out, they're playing well. The Warriors, surprisingly enough, everybody says, oh, they're better rested, they're the healthier team. But they've got some guys that may not play for in game one. Otto Porter looks like he's going to play after missing the last few games of the conference finals. But Andre Iguodala and Gary Payton are going to be game-time decisions. I don't think we're going to see either one. And that hurts the – in this series, that hurts the Warriors' perimeter defense. And I think that's going to be important. I think you have the rest versus rust factor here. Yes, the Warriors have been off for a week. Yes, the Warriors historically are great in game ones in the postseason. This postseason, the Celtics have been lousy in game ones. I know all of that. But the realities are, week off, yeah, you could scrimmage all you want. Doesn't replicate play. Week off in the NBA is a little too long. The Celtics off 3 days, that's kind of perfect. Recharge the batteries on some of those banged up guys, but they don't lose that edge. I think the Celtics come out, get off to a fast start here. I don't think it's one of those where they jump out early and they're out by 15 while the other team is flat, and then they go dead tired and the Warriors reel them back in. And you can make a case that that's what could happen, and you could take the first quarter spread with the Celtics plus a half. You could take the money line or the spread on the Warriors in the third quarter, and there's some validity there. I'm staying off of those. I'm taking the Celtics. Plus 3.5 is the most common number at 110 in most markets. You can find plus 4 right now at FanDuel. You'll have to lay a little more, you'll have to lay 114. And I know that some people are saying, well, you know, the playoffs this year haven't had a lot of close games. Well, I'm not sure that this one isn't. And I feel a lot safer having that extra half a point. Ideally, you'd think the Celtics would be getting a little more considering all the things I talked about with rest and health and Warriors are great at home, this and that. You're not getting it. Celtics are a great road team, and they have been all postseason. They've won at least 2 games in every round of the playoffs this year. So we're going to take the Celtics plus 4. We're treading light. We're only going 2 units here. And then as far as the total, I think it's pretty close to spot on. It's 212.5 in most markets. I got it at 212, only had to lay 108 at Wynn. And I think that's still in play as of this moment. You can still get that number. We're taking 2 units on the over here as well. Couple of reasons. Number one, Warriors like to play fast. Number two, both of these teams have turned the ball over a lot in the playoffs. Turnovers have been a bugaboo of the Warriors pretty much this entire dynasty run of theirs. That's the one thing they don't do well. They turn over the ball a lot. That's going to lead to transition points. That's going to allow this thing to get into kind of an up-tempo run. I think in many ways, even though the Celtics tend to like to play slower, this game won in this NBA Finals from a pace and scoring standpoint is going to look like the first couple of games of their Eastern Conference semifinals with the Bucks. It's going to play fast. It's going to get the two teens. You know, it's going to get well over 210, close to 220. So we're going to go the over 212. We're going to go only 2 units. This is going to give us a chance to see what the complexion of this series is going to look like from a pace and tempo standpoint and make some adjustments in game 2 as the books will be slower to move and we think we can find more value in game 2.
Now, Joe, you mentioned, you know, you're laying 108 on the line and like 114 on, you know, the spread. What is the, I guess, the line of demarcation for you when you're looking at, okay, this is the price on this isn't worth it?
Okay. You know, it really, really depends. There's no flat number. It's about getting line value. In this case, laying in essence $4 to buy a half a point in a game I think is close is definitely value. The standard in our, because we're actually getting it for a dollar, for a $1 bargain. Normally a half a point in basketball is going to cost you $5. Let's say it's plus 3.5 at 110. Plus 4 would normally cost you 115. So we like the idea of getting the extra half a point here. We're getting it at 114. So we say we're doing it at a little bit of a discount. It's a dollar, but it's still a discount. So we saw some line value, so we bought the half a point there. Again, with the total, we think this number is going to be very, very close. All right? So we really shopped hard for the best number. Wynn had the best number, 212. Most other markets have it at 212.5. The fact that we got 108 instead of 110, that's just a testament of how competitive Wynn's odds are. They're given 108 in places where everybody else is given 110. So it pays to shop your lines. These couple of dollars here and there are value. That's the difference between a positive return on investment and a negative return on investment, Patrick.
Ted, this is why I ask you, because you know smart stuff like this that I don't know about.
Right.
You know, now we're teaching everybody. All the guys are there's a lot of people who are, you know, veteran wagers, and then there's people who are, you know, kind of new to it. And if you're new to it, you probably don't want to ask because you don't want to be feel embarrassed, like, oh, I didn't know about, you know, this or that or anything. Well, we give you the answers for free, so you don't have to deal about it. Joe, real quick here before we hit the end of the segment, are there any other plays on this game or on this series that you like right now?
Yeah, take your pencil out. I got quite a few series props I like. I took the Celtics to win the series at plus 135 because I think the Celtics are going to win the series, and you're getting that at plus money. Series over 5.5 games. Here we're laying a big number, minus 200. But I don't think anybody believes that this is going to be a short series. So you're going to have to lay 2-1 to get that bet. Here's a situation where realistically, this probably should be closer to 3-1. But 2-1, this bet makes sense. Lay the 2-1. Series over 5.5 games. Here's a gimmick bet. It's because I like the Celtics in game one. Celtics to win game one, end the series. It's plus 320. Don't go very hard on that one. Here's one if you can find it, and it's hard to find. It's tricky to find. You have to shop for it. Two road wins in series, plus 165. I'd play this pretty heavy. The Celtics have won at least two road games in every series in this year's playoffs. And as good as they've been susceptible to coughing up games at home. So I like that one a lot, and I might play that one pretty hard at plus money. And then Jason Tatum, because I think the Celtics are going to win the series, and if they win the series, Jason Tatum will be the MVP of the finals, plus 175. Those are some props that I really like. There's a couple others. Go to sportsmapelite.com. You'll see those. We'll be adding some more right up until game time.
Oh, there you go. Joe Spano, Sports Map Elite. Just gave you a whole bunch of money plays for game one tomorrow night. You can get all those plays and more plays, sportsmapelite.com. Follow Joe on Twitter at JoeSpano56. Joe, always appreciate you, my friend. We will talk soon. Have a great one, bro.
You too, brother. Bye-bye now.
All right, Joe Spano, Sports Map Elite, with us on Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5.